Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study taught by Brother John Allball titled, The Failure of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. This is part two of two.
In those days, the tabernacle was at Gibeon. And I'm pretty dumb, guys. I'm scratching my head going, Gibeon? Where have I heard Gibeon before? Well, when we studied Joshua, and Joshua is taken over the promised land, here come the Gibeonites. And they're actors. They're Dr. Jekylls and Mr. Hyde. They're showing up with the old clothes and the old wine busted bottles and moldy bread. And they're deceiving. Now, what happened with Joshua, guys? He didn't pray. He did not pray. And he violated the word of God when he said, don't make any leagues with these nations. Don't make any leagues with them. Joshua was not in the book. And he was supposed to have made a copy of the first five books there. He wasn't in the book and made a mistake and did not pray. And guys, where do all of our problems come from? It's when we don't pray before the Lord. Why? Because we don't give God a 5-minute prayer. You know, some of the translators of King James spent 6 hours a day praying. And that was on a good day. I don't know how long they prayed when they had a bad day. And I don't see how you can wake up and have a bad day. But who knows? Maybe the bad day started because of something they did the day before. All right? They had the same nature like us. All right? So I just thought it was fascinating that when God shows up and he says to Solomon, you know, ask anything. And he goes, I'd like to have wisdom. Where is he praying for this wisdom at? He's at Gibeon. Why does God have him do it at Gibeon? As a reminder to Solomon, he needs to be in prayer. Solomon, be in prayer. Guys, we need to be in prayer. Okay, here's the failure part. The success part is up here, guys, in the circle. Spirit begets the little spirit. That's success. Us trusting the Lord to do His work. What happens down here? Here's the failure. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 11, 9-13. And probably should go ahead and keep a marker there. 1 Kings chapter 11. Going with 9-13. And we're going to go ahead and read that. Verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Twice he appeared to him, and now he's angry with them. And had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. God, first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, meaning Solomon was rebelling, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Take a look what happened. I will establish a kingdom. God established the whole kingdom for him. 40 years of peace. And what does Solomon do? He rips it to shreds. Why? Because he quit praying to God. He quit being in the Word of God. And he started being in the lower nature. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. And what happens? Whenever we live in the Dr. Jekyll mode, it goes right into Mr. Hyde. And it says his heart turned from God. God knows when your heart, he knows when my heart turns from him. And what? He's angry. He's angry when we turn our heart away from him. Now, there is some hope here. He took away 10 tribes. But he left one tribe. And that was Benjamin. The word Benjamin means son of the right hand. And if we go to Hebrews 1:3, we'll see that when Christ rose again from the dead, what did he do? He sat on the right hand. So The tribe of Benjamin was supposed to be a picture of Christ. I'm not going to desert you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to continue to work with you. Okay? And we have that promise from the Lord. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to desert us. And we have that promise, and we can hang on there. Okay. In verse 13, he said, build a house for my name. And here's the success. We don't have time to read 1 Kings 5 and 6. But Solomon goes ahead, and he starts building the house for the Lord. And I think it's fascinating. It took him 7 years to build the house. So I just thought it was fascinating. It took the Lord 7 years for the authorized King James to come about. 7 and 7. All right? And this is our house right here, the Word of God. There's so many neat things about that, but that's the main thing I wanted to get into. Wow. Probably should be looking at your notes here, too. There's so much here, guys. This is a very, very rich study. If you can get it through your head, the two natures, and that we're supposed to live in the Spirit of God, then I've done what the Lord has asked me to do. You can just, if we can all pray for each other to live in the Spirit of the Lord instead of spending our time in the flesh nature, spending our time, you know, in the soul, trying to be king of our own lives. In 1 Kings 5:4, my God hath given me rest on every side. That was what Solomon said. I've got rest on every side. That's a success. Who made the rest on every side? No enemies coming in and attacking them. The Lord did. That's an interesting study. So when you study Israel and they're coming under attack in future chapters, wow, there's some great study going right in there. Now note that Jerusalem means the teaching of peace. The teaching of peace. And the whole house that he's supposed to build was supposed to be the peace for all nations. And we've got some neat scripture that Romans 15:33 talks about the God of peace sanctifying us. We've got Ephesians 2:13, peace through the blood of cross. If you run the word peace, you've got so many neat scripture verses dealing on that. Now here's the failure. 1 Kings 11:7-9. Let's take a look at that. In other words, he said, build a house for my name. The house got completed. And it was for God's name, and it's for peace. Peace with God through the sacrifice of the Lord. Now, 1 Kings chapter 11, again, verses 7 through 9. Here's the failure part. Verse 7. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. Now, we shared with you last August about Moab. That was one of Lot's kids. All right? Keep in mind, 99.99.99% of Lot's kids did not go to heaven. And Pastor Miller preached out of Psalm 83, Lot's kids, which is Moab and Ammonites, are right now on the other side of Jordan. At some point, will come in and attack Israel. They will attack. That's Lot's kids. Lot was saved. Why didn't he teach his kids the Word of God? That's what puzzles me. And what puzzles me is how the Ammonites and the Moabites hate Israel. And Israel didn't come about for 9 more chapters when you study the book of Genesis. So what was going on with Lot's family where they hated Israel before they even had 12 kids? Fascinating study right there. All right? Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. There's the other kid. And likewise did he for all his strange wives. All of them. How many temples was built around Jerusalem to false gods? Just names two right here, but he had 700 wives? Wow! Think about it. Now, I don't think that all 700 wives had a different god, but you know, there had to be at least another 10, 25, 30 temples that he built, which burned incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Again, a violation of a first commandment. Those have no other gods before me. And the Lord, again, we read this, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord, which had appeared unto him twice. How about that? He goes ahead, He builds the house. That is the spiritual success, the way it's supposed to be. And what does Solomon do? He goes against the Lord and starts building temples for everybody. For everybody. Now, I do want you to take a look at Leviticus 20, 1 through 5. Yes. This is such a rich book. Let's take a look at Leviticus. This is something, you know, if you're like me, a lot of times you're just reading through the book and your mind just goes dead and you just read it and you don't even think. Leviticus 20. Keep this in mind for Solomon, okay? This comes up again, and so we're just going to read it here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch. Unto Moloch. What did Solomon just do? He built a temple to Moloch. He shall surely be put to death. You get that? Solomon should have been put to death the moment he started building that temple to Moloch.
Amen.
He should have been executed based on the word of God written right here. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. That's how Solomon should have ended his wisdom, okay? He should have been stoned to death. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary. How about that? The house that he just built? And to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man. Think about it, guys. The temple didn't go down. He built a temple and nothing happened. When he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go a whoring after him, to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. What a book, guys. That is what should have happened. And that's what happens when we get into the flesh nature. When we live Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Solomon should have been stoned here. He should have been executed. Now, I'm going to show you a neat promise out of God's book compared to Scripture with Scripture. Out of 1 Kings 6:12, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. Talking to Solomon here. You carry out my word. God says, I'll carry out my word. I'll perform it. I'll take care of you. You'll be okay. Just follow my word, and I will perform my word toward you. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Guys, it's not about money. Prosperity is not about money. It's not the bigger cars, the bigger everything else, not the bigger buildings. Prosperity, guys, deals with you living in the first picture here with the Lord, and then you're helping someone else to come into that picture. You're helping someone else to get saved. The prosperity God is talking about is the people you're going to be meeting up in heaven. And if you don't have anyone to meet up there, you're going to be so sorry you left all your money down here. It's going to be a sad sight. Then somebody make that way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only time the word success appears in the King James is right here. And why? And it's connected to this book, connected to the Word of God. That is a great promise. Let's spend more time meditating. Meditate means to think upon. I call it connecting the dots. And we just connected the dots with Solomon and the Temple of Moloch. And then, interesting, notice that Moloch, the Ammonites and the Moabites, Solomon built temples for them. Those were Lot's kids. Where did Lot's kids get those two gods from? Where? They get it from Lot. Where did they get it from? Oh, how about their mom? They probably got it from Lot's daughters, who got it from the mom. Fascinating. Connect the dots. Okay, number three, God's relationship. And this is a fun one, too. Verse 14 out of 1 Samuel 7. All right? Or 2 Samuel 7. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. You guys, if you just take this one phrase and study it throughout Scripture, especially I think in 1 John 4, somewhere around in there, that's the true test of true Christianity. The Father and the Son. Father and the Son. Not mother and son. Father and Son. That's what Christianity is based upon. And every one of us here, when you get born again, you become a son. You're part of the Lord that way. And so, this is what Nathan is telling David. That God says, I'm going to be... That God said, I'm going to be the father. Solomon is going to be my son. We're going to have that as a special relationship. Now, let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. Verses 29 to 34. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and the songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even into the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. Look what the father did for the son. Gave him all that wisdom. Everything. A father, Johnny's my son, okay? I do everything I can to help him be a success. Everything I can. And he knows it. And we try, and I pray for him. I pray for Jennifer, my daughter. And I do everything I can as a father to help her to be a success. And guys, the same principles that I use for them is the same principles that I use for you. If I can help you be a success in any way, I will do the best I can. I will pray for you. And if I have the time and you need something done, I'll try what I can. And that's the way Christianity is supposed to work. All right? Now, I got a kick out of this. The book of Proverbs is written as a father to a son. Now, notice God says, I'll be a father, Solomon will be my son. So Solomon is now writing the Proverbs. It's now Solomon, the father, writing to the son. Now, we know he had thousands of sons, probably. You know, 700 wives. I'm sure the place was packed, okay? I'm sure it was pretty wild. Everyone, if you went to witness in Jerusalem, everyone was from Solomon, okay? Oh, yeah, my dad Solomon. Oh, yeah, my dad Solomon. Yeah, it was probably a riot, okay? So, we take a look. What son, particularly, could we point out that Solomon was probably writing to? Had to be the next king that was going to take his place. And who was going to take his place? Rehoboam. And guys, I just found this out in the last couple of months. I'm studying Rehoboam. His mother was an Ammonite. The Ammonites hate Israel. And Solomon had built his wife a temple. Guys, connect the dots. Now, connect the dots even more. At the time that Rehoboam becomes king, connecting the dots, it said the Sodomites were everywhere. Okay? His mom's an Ammonite, guys. Where did the Ammonites come from? Well, how about that? Sodom and Gomorrah. Do we have any connections here? What's happening? And now you talk to Rehoboam, and he's going to talk to the old guys for wisdom, and he'll talk to the young guys for wisdom. Do we make any guesses? He rejects the older guys. And he's going, what with the younger guys? Do we have any guesses of what he does with the younger guys? Just connecting dots.
Oh, John, there's no scripture there.
Guys, connect the dots. It was very wicked. Why do you think the kingdom was taken away from Rehoboam? Because he was wicked and vile. All right? Now, failure. Let's go to 1 Kings. I think let's go to 1 Kings chapter 1 again. This cracks me up. But I have to look at my own Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, okay? Look here. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Now let's think a minute. Didn't he not write Proverbs?
Yes.
Does he not have a chapter on watch out for strange women? Yeah, he does. Does he read this chapter? No, apparently not. Guys, the Word of God is of no use to you, and it's no use to me unless we get it in the heart.
Amen.
It's got to be in the heart. It can't be in the mind, guys. We're like over here. The Word of God in the soul does not work because it's still balanced with Mr. Hyde. It cannot work. Our soul is supposed to be transformed by the Word of God. The body is supposed to be mortified by the Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Word of God transferring your soul, you can't mortify the body. Because it takes the Word of God, the Spirit of God through the Word of God, to mortify the body. That's how it works. It's how it works for me when I do it, and when I don't do it, I'm back in the same mess I was into in the first place. All right? We start by having fellowship with the Lord. Now, I've shared with you before, I made a vow in my younger days to spend 5 minutes a day with the Lord. Now, the 5 minutes normally goes 15 to 20. But I thought I could keep 5 minutes. Okay? I'm probably in the high 98% maybe of doing the 5 minutes. There are some days, I've had one day already where I got swept off my feet when I woke up and there was just no time at all. Before I know it, it's midnight, I'm clocking out where I work. And the whole day went by because it just went that quick. You know? So you know what you do? Next day you go for 10 minutes to show them that you do care. All right? But now, does it mean I didn't meditate on God's Word? No, I still meditate on His Word all day because I had the Word in my heart. I meditate. I'm thinking. The Lord is talking to me. I can't help it. I just have a bad case. I can't help it. He's just talking to me and He's trying to do something great. And the old nature was to fight Him. And so one of the things I'm trying to do is memorize some of the good old hymns. And since no one's around where I work, I'm singing them loud, okay? And I'm memorizing them. I'm going back every now and then. The one song, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Check the lyrics on all four. That was written by Charles Wesley. By the way, he was 19th born. Praise God, no abortion in his day. 19th born. The guy wrote the song 279 years ago. The lyrics, guys, look at all four stanzas. They are dynamite. Dynamite. The guy had a clear understanding of the gospel. And I think when he wrote the one, dying once, he died for all. He had a clear, he was not a Calvinist. He understood that the blood of Christ covered it. Anyone that would come to Christ could be saved. Nice. Tremendous stuff. So, let's take a look. I think that we don't need to go any further with that one there because you just see... let's go to verse 2 anyway. But King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. I think that was his first wife, which if he'd have read the old book, like you said, Abby, he should not have gotten a wife from Pharaoh in the first place. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, that was Esau's group. Sidonians, that was Jezebel's group. And the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart from after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Guys, what do you think TV's doing? You see your favorite character in bed with four or five guys. Well, That's a preview. Sorry, that's a preview. 4 or 5 girls, you know. It's right here. They're taking your heart away from the Lord again, you know, from the Lord. You got to be careful. I really think every time you're in bed with someone else other than the person you're supposed to be, your soul splits and splits and splits. And it destroys your concentration and it destroys everything about you to the point where you cannot commit to anyone at any time. And what happened with our nation because it gets into immorality, it's not going to be committed to the Constitution, not going to be committed to the Bill of Rights. And why? Because of immorality.
Amen.
Almost every, and I told this to Johnny, and I tell it to you guys, I think almost all the movie houses in Hollywood are now owned by foreigners. There might be one or two left that are American, but the majority of them are all bought by foreigners. Look at the morality in those countries and tell me what they're doing. And you can track it. And if it's owned by foreigners, what are they doing with all the money they're amassing? You think they're going to keep our Constitution? I don't think so. We can pray, guys. This is all I can tell you right here. And I'll leave you with this on this one note. As we said, God said, if he commit iniquity. He said this before he became king. Guys, iniquity is a choice. It is your choice. And if he commit iniquity. Didn't God know ahead of time because he sees the past, present, future? Didn't he look over and go, oh, yeah, he's going to screw up in 1 Kings 11. He's going to really screw up bad. Well, he didn't tell that to Nathan. He didn't tell that to David. He was Solomon to have the choice if he commit iniquity. I've given him my commandments. I give him all the wisdom in the world. And all the wisdom in the world was not in the heart, guys. It was in the mind where he could control it, Dr. Jekyll, and he went downhill. Okay, we're gonna go fast for the rest of this here. Oh, was it? Okay. Number 3. Okay, that was 3. Good. Okay. Number 4. My mercy shall not depart away from him. Let's take a look. When he writes the success part, of the Spirit. When Solomon writes Ecclesiastes, he's at the end of his life. Guys, he is screwed up royal. He's had 20 years of being a picture of the Antichrist. He's loved all these women. He finally comes to the point where he's going to repent, but it's at the end of his life, okay? Because the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, yeah, this is the whole thing. Fear God and keep his commandments. He tried everything else under the sun and never brought him happiness. The only true thing that brought him happiness was following the Lord. And that was in the first half of his reign. All right, that's the success. Now notice, God took his mercy away from Saul and killed him. Solomon was not killed. What did God do? He let him go to sleep. He passed away peacefully. He wasn't stoned to death. He wasn't killed. God did not take away his mercy from him. Guys, God is not going to take his mercy away from you and me. That's a great promise. Christ died when his blood covers all our sins, past, present, future. Great stuff here. Now, what's the failure? Let's take a look again. 1 Kings 11, 7, 33, and 40. Verse 7, then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. As we already shared there, he should have been killed for that one. He should have been stoned to death, as we read in Scripture. Let's take a look at verse 33. Because that they have forsaken me, and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, who have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments as did David his father. Again, same thing. Should have been killed for doing that. And then verse 40. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. And we'll just stop it right there. Guys, what's the sixth commandment?